Seaman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for checking us out on a Friday. It is 4 o'clock. It is the witching hour. It means pigskin picks. You know how competitive we are amongst the three of us. So we're going to let that rip. We've got Gabe Morenci at the bottom of the hour to set us straight going into a championship weekend.
The Wikipedia this hour, which is a cool topic today.
Oh, Christmas movies.
Christmas movies? Yeah.
Christmas movies today.
Yeah. All right. So it's a loaded hour. Let's not delay any further. Time now for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Mortgage Warehouse. For home loans in Southwest Florida, contact Mortgage Warehouse. No closing cost programs, refinance or purchase loans, free pre-approvals. MortgageWarehouse.com.
A little hot, can't talk over that. All right, the New York Knicks, they have fired head coach David Fizdale. Team has started this year 4-18. Go look at their roster. I think that's actually pretty good. Tonight on 99.3 ESPN, starting at 7 o'clock, we kick off college football championship week. It's the Pac-12 title. The 11-1 Utes taking on the 10-2 Ducks. That's Utah and Oregon. They're facing each other out there at Levi's Stadium. And the Everblades on home ice tonight, 7:30. They take on the South Carolina Stingrays.
Did you say Utes? The Utes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let us not delay. It is time for our weekly pig skin picks. There we go.
Buffer.
All right, Pete Shepherd is in the lead at 62-56-1. I am two games behind at 60-58-1. Both of us above water. Chris had an amazing week. I think he got 13 of the 22.
No, Craig, 15? I got 14 of the 22.
Okay, split the difference. All right, that's huge. You're 14, back in the 7 game.
7-1 last week.
You are now only two games below 500. And only four games off the pace.
How about that?
58-60-1. I got to vote you comeback player of the year at this point.
At least last week.
All right. We will start it off with the Pac-12 championship, which is tonight on 99.3 ESPN. We've got the Utes. Utah taking on Oregon. Utah, a 6.5-point favorite. I don't know about this one. Now, we know. I think there's going to be some inclement weather involved here, but Ducks can play in rain last time I checked. Looking back.
What is a Ute?
What is it? That's my hard analysis.
That's my
game.
Judge.
No, Ducks can play in rain.
Judge Chamberlain Heller.
Let's see. Utah, they beat Washington. They both lost to USC, right? No, Oregon beat USC. Oregon beat USC. I don't like the 6.5 here for Utah. I think this is going to be a closer game. I think it goes like it's a 3-point game. So I don't like the point spread. So give me Oregon in this one. I'm going with the Ducks in the rain.
So you'd be Utah's second game this season against the AP-ranked opponent. Their only win was then number 17 Arizona. They won 21-3. Yeah, I know the Ducks have been struggling on offense the last couple of weeks a little bit, but they were averaging over like 40 points a game. Look, I think they're going to get it done tonight, at least covered. I think this game is going to be a high-scoring game. Oregon, and I'll even throw in the over for you. Do the parlay. I'll make up for last night where I split out. Oregon, I don't see how this game isn't close. Both run defense is pretty good. Utah's on paper might be a little bit better, but Oregon's played a tougher schedule. I like the Ducks tonight. They are going to cover, even maybe win the game outright. Sorry.
Chris, who do you love?
I love the Utah Utes here in this game. Pete, as you just said, Oregon has had a very difficult time scoring the last 3 weeks. You add in there that Justin Herbert's two favorite targets, they're going to be out of this game. Their top two leading receivers, I should say two of their top three leading receivers, Jacob Breeland and Johnny Johnson, out for this game. Utah's defense is elite in college football. Oregon's had a tough time scoring against non-elite defenses. I also think that Moss, the running back for Utah, when he's played this year, the Utes are undefeated. And I also think Huntley, the quarterback for Utah, he hurt them in the Pac-12 title game last year against Wisconsin. He has really upped his game, becoming a more efficient passer. Love, 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 love the Utes here.
I don't.
All right, next, the Big 12 championship.
I don't like your attitude.
I don't like your attitude.
That's Jerry Jones.
I don't have the patience.
We'll play that again.
I'm not going to jack around with you anymore. All right. Baylor and Oklahoma. The Sooners are 9-point favorites in this game. I think Oklahoma's going to win this game. But the 9, I think that's a lot. I think it's too much. I know Oklahoma's got a lot to play for, but, you know, Baylor's like right behind them, like, hey, us too. They're going to play with some pride. I've watched a few of their games. I think it's going to be much closer. Again, Oklahoma wins, but by a closer margin. The minus 9 is too much. Give me Baylor.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree. So you're taking Baylor plus the 9. Remember, the couple of wasn't that long ago, Oklahoma won the first matchup 34-31. That featured a 25-point comeback, the largest in school history, by the way.
Yep.
Both teams ended with one loss. This is a tough one. I just think it's going to come right down to the wire. I really do. Again, I don't see why it wouldn't. 9 points seems like an awful lot here. So I will take Baylor myself at plus 9.
All right. Well, we're either going to close the gap here or we're going to open it up really big. Love Oklahoma here. CeeDee Lamb, by far their best pass-catching option, was out of that game against Baylor. Oklahoma still managed to put up 34 points in that game, most of it coming in the second half, right? 31 of the 34 points coming in the second half.
Yep.
I think they figured something out. They scored on 5 of their 6 possessions in the second half against Baylor. The one time they didn't score, Jalen Hurts turned it over in the red zone, so they really should have been 6-for-6 in the second half at Baylor. I'll go with the more explosive offense right here and go with the Sooners.
Next, the SEC. Georgia and LSU. LSU is a 7.5-point favorite here. Listen, guys. You know my storyline all season long. The Georgia Bulldogs are going to be showing who's boss here. The boss is LSU. They have been steamrolling everybody all season long. Will they steamroll Georgia? Well, they're going to beat them by more than 7.5. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. They're going to knock Georgia down to their respective spot in the polls when they come out on Sunday. They'll be at number 5, 6, somewhere in that neighborhood. They're out. LSU wins the game. They cover the 7.5, and Georgia is out, and they'll get some nice, comfortable bowl that everybody will go, yay, look at Uga. There you go, LSU.
My heart will be rooting, even though I picked LSU the whole season before it started, to win the whole thing. I am so rooting for Georgia today, or Saturday. So rooting for them. But I don't think they're going to win. LSU, really, again, not that they had to show anything, but blasting Texas A&M the way they did, 50-7 last week. They surrendered just 169 yards. They picked off 3 passes. They were very upset considering they allowed. Think about it, Mississippi had 614 yards against them not too long ago and 37 points, even though it was kind of a blowout. A lot of garbage stuff. But I have that. The problem is Jake Fromm has not been great lately.
No, he hasn't.
Last 4 games, he's thrown 10 touchdown passes with no interceptions, though, but he's failed to complete 50% of his throws in those contexts. And also, he's got banged up wide receivers as well. One's on suspension for at least the first half. I'm taking LSU to barely cover, but I think they get it done.
Wise choice.
And,
Chris?
If they don't, you'll have 2 teams in the SEC championship again.
Oh, a thing of,
I mean, in the college football
beauty right here. You guys agree on everything, and I disagree with everything right here. I think Georgia has the ability to keep LSU's offense off the field enough and use that running game with DeAndre Swift and the load of running backs that they have with Georgia. The way I look at it, LSU has played 2 teams that are at the caliber of Georgia this year. It was Auburn. It was Alabama. They beat Auburn by 3. They beat Alabama by 4. I understand that it was a garbage touchdown late that allowed Alabama to make that game 4 and not, what would have been, 12? 13? No. Whatever the number is.
Yeah.
11. Good grief. But Georgia's been here. This roster's played in this game. This is the first conference championship game LSU's played in since 2011. LSU's going to win the game. I just think Georgia's got enough to keep this thing one possession, keep it late. Maybe it's a garbage score late. I don't know. Hopefully Kirby doesn't go for it. Fake punt on 4th and 10 from the 50 this year. I'm going to go with the dogs here to cover the 7 in the hook.
Sound logic. I so wanted to do it.
This is probably the toughest game on the college slate on the weekend.
Next, the Big Ten Championship, Ohio State and Wisconsin. When I was sitting here thinking about this game earlier this week, I said, self, if I were going to set a point spread, what would I have it at? And I came up with about 17. They're at 16 and a half. I think this is right on the money. I think this is going to be a three-score game. And I'm going to take the Buckeyes to win. Now, the key will be Jonathan Taylor. I mean, he's obviously got to get over 100 yards rushing for Wisconsin for them to have a chance. Was he held to 85 last week? I think the Buckeyes will hold him down a little bit. And the Buckeyes will roll on to victory and cover the big 16.5-point spread.
Last time Jonathan Taylor played against Ohio State this year, he was held to 52, lost. Last time Jonathan Taylor was held to 46 yards against Northwestern, 2018, loss. In 2017, Taylor was held to 41 yards by Ohio State, loss. Translation, tomorrow, loss. They already lost by 31. I don't know how that's going to get much better.
Yeah.
They beat them, what, 38-7 a couple of weeks ago. I don't think the spread's high enough. I think the spread should be like 21 plus. So I will absolutely unload right now in Ohio State. Might be the lock of the conference championship games I feel most comfortable with. Besides Oregon tonight, this is at the top of the list.
Ohio State is the better. They got the better offense, more explosive offense. They have the better defense here. 16.5. Ohio State would have covered 16.5 point spread in all but one game this season. They blow people out. They've gotten used to blowing people out. I'd love to see Wisconsin make it a game.
I think too.
If Wisconsin wins this, there has the potential to be one of those chaos theories. Now, I think Ohio State's still going to get in, but I'd love to see chaos ensue this weekend.
I would too.
I just don't see it happening here.
I'd love to see Georgia.
Yeah, I'll lay the 16 and a half.
I'd love to see Georgia and Wisconsin win.
On to the National Football League. Baltimore at Buffalo. Baltimore, a 6.5-point favorite here. Buffalo is getting people's attention finally. I think we've been talking about them all season long. They took care of their business on national TV in front of everybody against the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. But this isn't the Cowboys. This is the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. It's in Buffalo. Look, guys, I think Buffalo shows up. I think this is going to be a close game, so therefore I do not like the 6.5 points. I will take the Buffalo Bills on this one.
Yeah, I am taking the Buffalo Bills as well. And I don't want to hear anything about dangling carrots in this game or whatever. The Bills are playing solid. This is two tough defenses that the Ravens are going up to in back-to-back weeks with the 49ers last week and then traveling to a snowy day in Buffalo. The Ravens playing somewhat bad weather occasionally. They did in that San Francisco game, but there was more rain than everything else. I think the Bills not only have a chance to cover, but I think the Bills, this is a great spot for them. They might be able to pick off the Ravens here just for this particular week. It's exhausting to play against two defenses like they have back-to-back weeks. So I'm taking the Bills. I think they might win the game outright, to be honest with you. But I love the 6.5 with them.
All right, Chris.
Pete, you're wrong. This is absolutely a dangling carrot game. The difference is you're on the right side of the carrot right here. Buffalo is going to keep this game close. They're going to lose by 3 points. Last week, Baltimore beat San Francisco 20-17. I see a very similar game playing out. Low scoring, black and blue game. I'm with you guys. I think sprinkling a little action on the Bills money line here. There are worse plays this weekend.
Yep.
I'm in on this Buffalo Bills team. I really like them.
All right, very good. All right, I think the game of the day, the San Francisco 49ers on the road at New Orleans, taking on the Saints. Saints are 2-point favorites in this game. The Saints have shown some weaknesses and some inconsistencies, but you know what? So are the 49ers. They've lost a couple games in the last month. I think this is a tough game to pick. I think this, out of all the games we have, is the most difficult to pick. I was leaning San Fran early on because of the Saints' inconsistencies, but then I said to myself, self, this is the Saints in the Dome at home in December. I'm going to go with New Orleans and Drew Brees to win this game. It's only a 2-point cover, so New Orleans wins. They cover the two.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is a tough call. Should be a hell of a game coming down to the wire, but the record at home late in the season is real good, and I'm sorry. They should be able. I think they have the capability of winning this game by a field goal. I think they can do it. But it should come down to the wire. Wouldn't shock me if it was overtime, sweating out a little bit. Tough one. Personally, I'd stay away from it. But since we're picking on the show, I'll absolutely take New Orleans -2.
We'll make it a clean sweep. If you're going to give me Drew Brees with a good defense at home in a meaningful game,
yep,
yeah, and just has to win by a field goal, sign me up. I think it's going to be a close game. If we come in here Monday and we're talking about San Fran going in there and winning, not going to shock me. I'm just going to side with the Hall of Fame quarterback who I know probably won't make the big turnover versus Jimmy Garoppolo, who's been throwing some picks here of late.
Yeah. All right, our next game, Kansas City at the stupid New England Patriots. Don't know what the weather report is on that one. I actually went back and forth on this one. New England is a 3-point favorite at home. I think Patrick Mahomes is starting to look better. Like, the knee's not an issue anymore.
He did not play well last week against the Raiders. He didn't.
He's still his mobile self.
He did not play well last week. But go ahead.
That's my pick.
Yes.
That's exactly right. Boy, do you get defensive about your stupid Patriots.
No, I'm not talking about the Patriots. Patrick Mahomes played the Raiders last week.
Patrick Mahomes will be just fine. I think the Chiefs are the better team. Look, I'm going to stick to my scenario here. Your offense is stunk since week 5. I think Mahomes and the Chiefs' offense is better, faster, quicker, and they will win in New England. They have to at some point, and I'm going Kansas City to win and cover the 3.
Okay.
I'm sorry, they don't have to cover the 3. They're just going to win.
Okay. They won't win. Let me give you a couple of stats here, okay? Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, when they play together at home in the regular season versus an AFC opponent, care to guess what their record is in the last 10?
You want to throw another qualifier in there?
The last 10 years and 2 months?
4-0, I don't know.
42-0. 42-0. The Patriots don't lose back-to-back games very often.
Catching up on my emails right now.
You can, you can give me all the numbers you want. Patriots beat them twice last year. Patriots, I don't know if Kansas City is a better team. They've been playing a little bit better offensively than the Patriots. That is a given, no doubt about it. But they will struggle in this game, and there'll be at least 2 picks that Mahomes throws in this game. Comes down to the wire a little bit. I think the Patriots cover, not by a lot, don't blow out anything like that. I think this game's like 26-20. Patriots will find a way. 42-0 when Tom Brady and Julian Edelman play together in the regular season at Gillette Stadium. 42-0. Make it 43-0 Sunday afternoon.
It's got to end sometime.
It does have to end sometime, Craig. You're absolutely right about that. Unfortunately, this weekend is not that week, and this is a terrible matchup for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Patriots offense, this is exactly what this offense has needed to face this defense right here. They can lean heavily on the run, and we might come in here. We're not going to know anything more about if Tom Brady's still Tom Brady on Monday or not, but they're not going to have to. They can lean heavily on the run, the Patriots, that is. They can keep Pat Mahomes and that really good defense or offense off the field, keep their defense rested. I really like the Patriots in this game. I've never done this. It's my lock of the weekend. Patriots -3.
Lock of the weekend. All right. One more game to go. Seattle at Los Angeles, taking on the Rams. Seattle, a 1-point favorite. They're either a 1-point favorite or a 1-point dog every week. This is just how it goes with Seattle. I literally, if I had a coin, I would take Chris's theory and flip a coin on this game.
That's what I did.
So,
you want me to flip for you? Heads is road, tails is home. Here.
All right, what do we got?
Oh,
tails is home.
Tails is home? Here's the thing, Chris.
You want to go with Seattle?
Here's the thing. Seattle's going to the playoffs. I'm not sure the Rams are, even though I think they're slowly fixing some things, but not all things. They're getting a little better. I got to ride the hot hand. Russell Wilson will find a way to win. I'll take Seattle. I mean, it's a 1-point game. It's a pick 'em, basically. I'll take Seattle. There we go. Said it.
This is a tough call here. This is a tough call. It's a great teaser game for either way.
Yeah.
But Seattle is 8-1 in games decided by 7 points or fewer. I think it's going to be another close game at the Coliseum. I think the Coliseum, this might be one of the more raucous crowds we've had there in a long time. I think there's going to be a lot of Seahawks fans there too, as well. I'm taking Seattle. I just even though Rams looked real good last week, I'm taking Seattle.
Chris,
tough call. Did you take Seattle, Craig?
Yes.
I'm going to go the other way here. I'm going to go with the Rams. And I'm banking on Sean McVay realizing that he is an idiot and needs to hand the ball off to Todd Gurley, because that offense is just different when Todd Gurley gets to touch the ball 25 times a game. We saw it in the Super Bowl. We saw it the first 3 months of this year. It started to look different. And I will say, going back to the – was it a Thursday night game between these two teams about a month and a half ago? Was that a Thursday night game? It was a Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Seattle won that game by one in Seattle. Yeah. It was a close game anyway.
30-29.
I'm hoping if Todd Gurley can kind of push it back the other way, that the Rams win this game. And I feel like Vegas is putting this out there. Oh, Seattle, top of the NFC, the Rams. Maybe people haven't caught on yet that this offense is slowly improving. Almost a dangling carrot-esque game right here. So I'll go with the Rams at home on primetime.
All right. Pete and I are the same on every game except Kansas City and the stupid New England Patriots. Chris, I think you're all over the place. You're either going to pick up about four games or...
I'll be in first or keep my spot in last come Monday.
First or last. Exactly. All right. Now, as is our tradition, it is time for the professionals. Gabe Morenci will be joining us next at Sports Rage and tell us how we should have picked on all these. If you don't want to listen to us, listen to him. Don't forget Pac-12 championship tonight, Utah and Oregon, and then a triple header here on 99.3 ESPN tomorrow. Big 12 championship, SEC championship, and Big 10 championship, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Creel Tractor, and Backstreet Sports Bar. Gabe Morenci next on a Friday. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Time to talk to our favorite handicapper. That's Gabe Morenci. You can find him on Twitter. He's a great follow, by the way, there at Sports Rage. Also on FNTSY Radio and FNTSY Sportsnet. Gabe, how you been?
What's up?
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Let's do this thing.
All right. Well, before we start on football and championship weekend, do you have a piece of this Ruiz-Joshua fight tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I think it's a case that people are going to want to bet on the underdog again, but there's an expression in the fight game that a wise odds maker once told me, and he said, you don't want to be late for the wedding and early for the funeral.
Yeah.
And I almost get the feeling that if, you know, will lightning strike twice? I'm not so sure. I see he comes in 15 pounds heavier than he did, literally and figuratively doubling down. but I think Joshua gets it done this time.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's kind of like a Christmas Eve type weekend because, multiple conference championship games beginning with, I think, could be a classic tonight in the Pac-12 with Utah and Oregon. How do you feel about this one?
You know, I'm looking forward to this football game a lot, actually. The Pac-12 has been much maligned, obviously, over the last 4 or 5 years. I believe Washington are the only team to get into the playoff at – you know what? They hung with Alabama defensively. I mean, what, they lost 24-10. I think it was about 4 years ago or so. But I don't think the Pac, the upper tier, listen, I think Utah can play with anybody for real, and I think the Ducks can play for anybody for real. The Ducks have problems closing games out, as we saw against the Auburn Tigers earlier in the season. We saw against Arizona State as well. Specifically that game against Auburn, it was right there. So all the talk about Utah being great, the Ducks aren't far behind these guys, Pete. And there's so much pressure on Utah coming into tonight, outside noise, national media talking about them. And I love the narrative of people that act as if like the Ducks don't care about tonight's game. Well, Utah have more to play for.
Yeah.
Listen, they both want to win this game as much as the other team wants to win the game. Is there more at stake for Utah? Yeah. That doesn't change. You think a kid on Oregon cares about the Utah Utes playoff chances? Mm. He wants to go to the Rose Bowl. I mean, we forget about this stuff. And, I've spoken to a couple of college players throughout the week who have agreed with this take that, yeah, the playoffs are cute and stuff. And, that's sort of what the mainstream and, the casual football fan will pay attention to. But guys, these kids and coaches line up to win their conference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. We, you know, when Bo Schembechler's speech was about winning the Big Ten,
yeah, right.
It wasn't even about winning a national championship. Yep. It was about winning the Big Ten and going to the Rose Bowl. And this is a speech that's been stated in Pac-12 rooms. You know, we had Yogi Roth on this morning, who's a Pac-12 analyst, and, you know, he was fortunate enough to play in four Rose Bowls. Hmm. And, you know, he just talked about how special it is to play in a Rose Bowl at the Big Ten versus the Pac-12. And, you know, where I'm going with this is I think the Ducks hang with these guys.
Mm, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Ducks win this game outright. Mm. But to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia wins outright either. So, you know, as far as what's going to happen in the playoff, there's still a lot to be decided right now. But I'm taking the points tonight. I'm taking the points. Now, one thing as far as betting this game, too, we talked about it last week with the game with Michigan and Ohio State. You know, the Michigan fan in us wanted Michigan to win. And we sprinkled a little bit on it. But the better in us hammered the over of a football game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to simplify things, guys, but sometimes you need to simplify things. I mean, Ohio State had put up 49 points per game. The total was 50.5. Did anyone really think Michigan were going to completely shut down that offense?
No.
And where I'm going with this is people talk about Utah. Wow, they can play defensively, but mm-hmm. they act as though they scored 9 points a game. The Utah Utes scored 30 or more points in 10 of their 12 games, guys.
Yeah.
Like, they're a complete football team. They average 36 points a game. They just happen to only give up 11 points a game. Mm. So, you know, they can put points up on the board. I think the total's too low. It's supposed to start raining about an hour into the game, mm. about 6 o'clock local time or so. That's what we're hearing from people that actually live there. You know, so you know, you go on Google and you see, oh, it's bad weather, but it's actually sunny there right now. I spoke to someone just a couple hours ago. They said it's sunny, but it's expected to, you know, cloud up and rain throughout the game, which could be an advantage for the Utah Utes. Yeah, the Ducks practice the rain all the time. I like the Ducks plus the points and the over.
Okay. I'm way ahead of you, buddy. Already locked and loaded. I'm so glad you agree with me.
You're rolling on the money line, Pete.
It makes you feel good when Gabe's already agreed with what you did. All right. What other? You just hinted. You think Georgia may win against LSU, which means I think you think the 7.5 or whatever it's at for LSU is too high?
You know, I can't say that I think it's too high per se, Craig, in the sense that, you know what? LSU are a freaking good football team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really are. People talk about their defense. Yeah, well, their defense gives up some yards and some points. They also did that in games where they had already hung up 40, 50 on you, right?
Yep.
You know, they have NFL talent on the defensive side of the football. So I think LSU's weakness on defense might be a little bit oversaturated and overblown a little bit right now. Mm-hmm. But with that being stated, Georgia's defense is the real deal. And Georgia will be able to move the football on LSU as well. I think this is whoever has the ball last wins type of deal as well.
Hmm.
You know, both teams obviously have a ton to play for. It will be anticlimactic, though, in my opinion at least. And I know SEC Nation's going to love it, but Georgia wins, LSU gets in, that's kind of anticlimactic.
Right.
Yeah, and I know, you know, you could argue, well, you can't bounce them. Yeah, people are ready to bounce Clemson pretty fast, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, long story short, we need an 18 playoff. But without being stated, I like the points in this game. I think Georgia can take this game down to the wire. We've seen Kirby Smart able to beat anybody for the most part. Nick Saban and Alabama were a problem for them. But I think the experience of playing in these type of football games will come, you know, will help Georgia a little bit. Look, LSU haven't played in an SEC championship since like 2011, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Just hard to believe.
But you know what, right? This, though,
so
Gabe?
Georgia's been in big games, guys.
Yeah.
You know, Georgia's been in big games. And the irony is, I don't think this Georgia team is as good as past Georgia's teams, like these last couple of years.
I agree.
But at the same point in time, it doesn't matter, Pete, right?
Mm.
It's almost like the Patriots. Does it matter? Or is this their best team or not? I don't know. They're 10-2.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, Georgia kind of flying under the radar here right now. I think they're a live dog, guys.
The only thing, I was so impressed with LSU, the way they blasted Texas A&M last week, giving only up 7 points, 150-7.
Yeah, I lost on the over. It was frustrating.
And the thing with Fromm, though, Fromm's completed less than 50% of his passes the last four. Plus, Lawrence Cager is out with an ankle, and George Pickens going to miss the first half. And I'm wondering, if they can overcome that in the first half, I agree with you. But man, that's a tough call. But we'll see what happens.
It's a tough task. But you look at LSU. Look at Auburn, the Auburn LSU game. Georgia's defense. And the kid's lucky he's only out a half, actually.
Yeah.
But Georgia's defense is NFL caliber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they'll be able to get to Joe Burrow. I think they'll be able to confuse him early. And I think this is Georgia's game plan, is to sort of keep it close, get this into the third quarter, get it into the fourth quarter. Don't let Burrow start putting on a clinic and a show. You're right, Fromm's going to have to do better. He has to play better in this spot. And I'm not his biggest backer. Now, listen, this isn't my best bet of the day. I like the game a lot better tonight. I like Oklahoma tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ohio State are going to maul Wisconsin tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be on the Georgia Bulldogs plus the points. I'll be on the over as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're indoors. It's ideal conditions. There's just too much speed on the field. There'll be a punt return here, a fumble there, return there. Punt return, field position swings. I don't think this game is going to stay in the 40s. And then as far as the 50s, mid-50s, this number's just bang on. And it's one thing, guys. Listen, there's more value taking UAB tomorrow against FAU. I like the Blazers as well.
Yeah.
This number here is the sharpest number of them all, guys. It's the SEC Conference Championship game. Like an NFL number. There's no value on either side. Let's just be real.
Yeah. Talk with Gabe Morenci with Sheba and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN.
Quickly, though, Craig.
Yeah.
I know we're going to get the NFL. Let me just throw it out here.
Yeah.
The diabolical better in me has been putting together some parlays.
Oh.
All right. So here's the listen. I'm kind of broke. It's the holidays, and man, I'm in a lot of trouble. Well, I need some money.
You were red hot on your parlays on Thanksgiving Day, so give them to me. Let's go.
Yeah. So this is a safe parlay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oklahoma to win the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ohio State to win the game.
Yep.
-199.
Yeah.
It's actually not that bad.
Okay.
I'm surprised it wasn't higher when I put it together. I was like, really? All right.
Mm.
And look, I'm in New York. I'm standing literally and figuratively on the Hudson overlooking the city right now. And you look over at Wall Street, and I'll tell you what, you get 50% of your money back in 4 hours. You know, they'll tell you that's a good return.
Yeah,
yeah.
People need more, but that's the safe way out. All right.
Okay.
I don't think Oklahoma's losing the game, and Ohio State definitely isn't losing the game.
All right.
At -199, it's not bad.
Okay.
All right, listen, Oklahoma I do think are going to cover against Baylor, but it's up to 9.5 now. Oklahoma at 1-4 against the spread in the last five games. Last week was the only cover when it was barely a cover, but they did it in Stillwater. So I can get the hesitation. So, okay, let's put Oklahoma money line in here.
Yeah.
But let's play the points with Ohio State.
Okay.
That becomes +149.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Okay.
You know, okay, all right, you wake up, watch Oklahoma win the game. Boom, you're going into Saturday night just needing Ohio State to win by 16 for a +149 ticket. And if you want to go all out, parlay, of course, the traditional parlay, Oklahoma minus the points, Ohio State minus the points, it's in the +270 range or so. But I'm going to play the money line parlay big,
yeah,
and then I'm going to hit these other parlays, you know, the plus money ones. But it's the holidays, and you know what? I want to win.
That's fantastic. I must say, one of the most intriguing games in the NFL last week was your Buffalo Bills against Dallas. They came through. I think another intriguing game at home against Baltimore, who's red hot right now.
Once again, the Buffalo Bills find themselves in a favorable position. I don't want to say they're not getting any respect, because I think the mainstream media has started to respect the Buffalo Bills a little bit, but I don't understand this number, and this isn't the only number I don't understand this week. And there's a correlation between the Ravens and the 49ers both being beloved by the betting public so much. But you're not going to find a more public team than the Baltimore Ravens are right now with Lamar Jackson.
Right.
People are still sort of slow to buy into Buffalo. Yet the fact of the matter is, guys, the Buffalo Bills have the best record in the spread against the National Football League. 8-3-1 against the spread. Mm-hmm. We saw last week Baltimore lay 5.5. They won the game, but the number was a little bit too high.
Yeah.
And I think it's a similar situation. I think this is going to be a battle for them to be able to win the football game. I'm not saying they can't win the game, but I think it's going to be a freaking battle for them. And, you know, with 24-23, 27-24, winner of this football game probably wins by less than 6 points,
yeah,
either team. If we want to get into some numbers here, the last four times the Bills have been gotten 6 or more, they're 4-0 against the spread, they're 4-0-1 against the number. The last five times have been getting points. And, you know, it's tough. It was a draining game for Baltimore last week. This is a really fun game between two very, very similar teams with dynamic quarterbacks. But 6 points with a red-hot Buffalo Bill team on their home field, too much to pass, in my opinion. I think they can win the game outright.
Yeah.
I'm not guaranteeing it, calling the outright shot Babe Ruth style like I did against the Cowboys. It's going to be tough. I'm concerned about Ingram. I'm concerned about their ground game and just them pounding the rock on us and Lamar running around. But with that being stated, Josh Allen could do the same back to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Brown's going to be a load for them to deal with deep down the field as well. You know, this game's going to come down. Got to take the points in this game. And speaking of the point spreads, what I don't really fully understand is how Baltimore could be 5.5-point home favorites last week against the San Francisco 49ers, yet a week after this game, which is like that heavyweight fight you just talked about,
yeah,
took a hell of a lot out of them. Like, how is it that the New Orleans Saints are only 2.5-point favorites?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Are you telling me that the Baltimore Ravens are that much better than the Saints are?
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, it's real easy to win in the Superdome, right?
Right, right, right.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I never question the odds makers. There's, you know, they're richer than I am.
Yeah.
Right? If I could, you know, I'm not in a position to troll them. But I wonder about some of these numbers that they make. And you look at the New Orleans Saints, guys, they're 17-3 straight up in the last 20 home games.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to win this game by 2.5 points. San Francisco goes to the East Coast, back to the West Coast, now in the Cajun country against a red-hot Saints team that won 9 of their last 10 games. The Saints have scored 31 or more in, like, 4 of their last 6 games. They're a juggernaut right now. San Francisco are 2-2 in their last 4 games.
Yeah,
I think reality started to catch up to them. I think the number's too low. Jump on it. Saints are going to win. I love this bet at 2.5. Awesome. One of my best bets of the week.
All right, fantastic. Gabe Morenci, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the championship weekend, and it is always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, pal.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, guys. Quick picks on the way out. Jets are horrible at home. Hottest team in football against the spread. Miami Dolphins 6-2 against the spread.
Yeah.
Give me the fish.
All righty.
Sounds good, Gabe. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, Chris, like that. Give me the fish on the
fins
way out the
up,
door.
Fins up, huh, Gabe?
Wow. Fins up, everybody. All right.
Love that pick, too.
I know. All right, it's time for some more fun. We've got Wikipedia.
Stump money line Shepherd. Play, actually.
Yeah?
Dolphins,
yeah.
Jets?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Come on.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
All right, we're
looking
for caller number 9 right now. Today's topic is going to be Christmas movie trivia. All right? That's something we all should be able to have a shot at.
Nothing too obscure.
Yeah. All right.
It's all the classics and some that are not classics.
So caller number 9, if you want to take on Pete Shepherd on the Wikipedia right now, 20 MoBucks on the line from Mo Southwest Grill. Caller 9, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's Wikipedia. Caller 9, Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia. Brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Moe's caters tailgate parties, retirement, and office parties. We cater any event. Wheel Southwest delivered. Visit Moe's.com/catering or call 239-384-3387. Welcome to Moe's Catering.
Caller number 9 is Jim in the Cape. Jim, how are you, sir?
Jim.
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys?
Very awesome. Good. How old are you, Jim?
I am 40.
All right. And what do you do for a living, sir?
I'm a general manager for Wawa.
Oh,
nice.
All right. Very
love
good.
Love Wawa.
All right.
Wawa.
All right. We are going to have Christmas movies as the topic for today's trivia. The first one of 3 correct answers is the winner. Are you ready to go, sir?
Absolutely.
All right. Chris, I'm going to flip 1 and 2, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for
it. All right. Jim, your first question is, who plays George Bailey in the Christmas classic It's a Wonderful Life?
Jimmy Stewart.
That is correct.
That was a small bell. That's a better bell.
Can you do a Jimmy Stewart impression? Most people can.
That's an outstanding answer.
Not even close.
Yeah, oh, very close.
Jim, can you do a Jimmy Stewart impression?
Mine would be much worse.
Okay. All right. All right, but you have a 1-0 lead.
I don't really like your attitude, Craig. It's charming. I'm going to lasso the moon. And
you sound nothing like Jimmy
head.
Stewart.
I know. I don't have time or patience to jack with you today. All right, here we go. Your first question,
You're
Pete Shepherd.
You're a vulgar
Shepherd.
Man.
What does 9-year-old Ralphie Parker want for Christmas in A Christmas Story?
Well, that's a BB gun.
Yes. Extra bonus points that don't count. What was the brand name of the BB gun?
Jim, do you know it? Step in if you do.
The Red Rider.
Jim got the bonus point.
Yeah. All right, Jim. Billy Bob Thornton is not your typical jolly Santa Claus in what grown-up Christmas movie?
Bad Santa.
Yes, yeah. Nicely done. Pete Shepard, what Tim Burton movie is often debated as a Christmas or Halloween movie?
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
We have a heated 2-2 tie, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Jim and the Cape, Will Ferrell is on a mission to find his real dad in what Christmas movie?
Pete Shepard, much like the stupid Patriots week this weekend, you lose. It is Elf.
Yes! Oh! I love the confidence going out. Oh, I love it. Love it.
That was an unnecessary shot.
It was done in the Christmas spirit.
I'm overwhelmed with
that's a
sorrow.
Horrible James Stewart.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
You should stop it right now.
It's outstanding.
Jim, congratulations. Thank you for
thank
listening.
You.
Have a thanks, wonderful Jim. Weekend. Stay on hold. Chris will take care of you with all the details. All right. Thank you, Jim. All right. That was good.
Now I definitely know I'm not losing.
All right. Let's see here. Jim Carrey underwent hours of makeup and therapy to play this
Grinch.
Dr. Seuss movie. Chevy Chase receives a Jam of the Month Club membership for his work bonus in what Christmas movie?
Christmas Vacation.
And Tim Allen becomes Kris Kringle in what movie?
Oh, what's it?
I guess it's wrong because he doesn't become Kris Kringle.
No, he is.
It's a real tricky name.
Yeah, Santa Claus,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. It's actually the Santa Claus because it's not Santa Claus.
It's about a clause.
It's a clause.
Like a contract.
In a document.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So the clause, yeah.
Underrated movie.
Not bad.
Okay.
Especially the first time he goes down the chimney and they kind of do
that's
the CGI.
That's good.
Yep.
All right, very good. 1 hour to go. We're late. That means Miley Cyrus is coming up.
So I put my hands up, playing my song.
I'm sorry, Chris is in charge of the buttons.
Not in my hips like, yeah.
Yeah, that's
Crocodile
not...
Dundee said I sounded like Bane. No!
All right.
Give them back to you.
Plus,
well, I kind of do that.
We're going to dig a little deeper into these conference championships of college football. We're going to do some real sports at a 5 o'clock hour.
It's actually
Friday.
Nodding my head like, yeah, moving my hips like, yeah.
Sheeman and Shepard on a Friday, 5 o'clock hour next, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.